Georgia, 2-point favorite in Tuscaloosa tomorrow night at 7:30. The over and under, 48.5, if you're interested in such things. And a little bit of history between these two teams. You know, Vince Dooley's first signature victory came over Bear Bryant in 1965 after Alabama won the national championship. Ran a trick play, which Dooley was known to do every once in a while, and that was his first signature victory early in his tenure. And of course, there's been some back and forth since then. They haven't played enough, though.
Yeah, they definitely haven't, man. I've been lucky enough to be in this matchup a couple times as a player. And so, you know, it is interesting when you look at this game.
We're all getting the flash flood warnings on our phones.
Yeah.
I got one this morning as I was on the express lane. My phone starts vibrating. And I go, It says, do not attempt to travel unless you're fleeing an area. I'm like, well, I kind of am. I'm fleeing home to get to work.
Sorry, Mike. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, man. I think it's important to talk about. I said the same thing. I was like, you know, Sandy Springs is being evacuated. I was like, yeah, I'm evacuating to work to Midtown. No, man, but I think when you look at this game, it is interesting because the implied totals, I guess, Rob, when you look at the over-under and the spread, it's like 23-25.5, right? That's what you would think. Supposedly Vegas thinks the final score is going to be. I would argue that neither of these offenses or these fan bases would be okay with those totals. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels – like, if Bama scores 23 in the game, I'm going to feel very bad about the offense. And I think Georgia fans would tell you if they're able to score 25 in the game, it's like it doesn't feel like a team that's doing what they can offensively. You know what I mean? When you have a Heisman Trophy candidate, number one overall draft pick at quarterback, you have ETN at running back, and you have some of the things that you have, it just seems like you should be scoring more points than that. I feel that way about Jalen Milroe and this Alabama offense with the offensive line they have.
Well, I think it's scary because – look what Brock Vandergrift did against Georgia a couple of weeks ago. He rushed for 70 yards, and he's not Jalen Milroe. He's
right.
Clearly pretty athletic, but this is certainly an issue.
Yeah, I think though too, what we saw in Kentucky is nothing that is not unlike anything we've ever seen in Kirby Smart's era going to Kentucky. Every time they go there, when Stoops is there, they find a game plan. If they play the game in Athens, it might have been 45
right.
to 10.
Somebody going up there, they're feisty up there.
I understand the concerns. I really do. And I'm not saying Georgia's going to win Saturday. I'm not saying that they're the greatest team ever assembled. All I'm saying is I take the Kentucky game, and I take a piece of paper, and I wad it up, and I throw it out. Because that's how it goes sometimes. Styles make fights, the matchups, the coaching staffs. You know, Mark Stoops, whether we want to give him credit or not, is a hell of a coach and a defensive coach at that. Carson Beck is still that dude that we saw last year.
Just a lot of people are starting to think otherwise in a way.
I think those people
can't win the big one.
I think those people are just they're the same people that when the strokes go, well, you know, he might be firing a coach soon. Oh, he lost one game. We might have to fire him because they don't know what they're watching, or they just want to play the I want to be lazy and overreact. The guy lost Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey, multiple running backs. He lost Ra-Ra Smith, who was there last year, or Thomas, who's been kicked off the team because he can't keep things out of straight. So he's lost multiple guys, and he's learning all of these new guys. They did get off to a slow start against Clemson, but I think Clemson's a lot better than we're giving them credit for.
Clemson's pretty good.
I think we just need to relax a little bit and say, you know what? They've had two pretty damn good opponents, one of which on the road, the other in neutral field. This is not an easy matchup, but I don't think it's time to just hit the panic button. And I know y'all aren't, but it feels like we are a little bit with some people talking about this team, with Carson Beck anyways.
I think it's always just a natural reaction because a lot of Bama fans kind of feel the same way. Like, you know, this is a make or break for Kalen DeBoer. No, it's not, dude. This is his fourth game in Alabama. Like, it's not make or break. But I'm with you. I will say this, though. I think a lot of what Carson Beck – and let me preface it with this. I would take Carson Beck number one overall. As it sits right now, I would take him to Warner. So I really, really like him as a quarterback and as a prospect. I will say this, though. As an offense, a lot of the yardage they did compile last year was because of the great players that he was getting the ball to. And you get a nice downfield block. They had such gritty downfield blocking at Georgia that you're able to turn, you know, Ladd McConkey's able to turn those into explosive. Brock Bowers, the screen plays, turn them into explosives. I don't know that you found that guy yet offensively, and I think Georgia fans would completely agree with me that you have to find that downfield weapon. You know, they have a number of players, but I don't think they've identified that guy to be able to kind of break it loose in those big game situations.
Well, it seems like interior of their offensive line has been good. Now you're without Tate Rattledge. Seems like there's some questions at tackle. How much are they going to miss him?
Well, according to Rusty, and we've talked to him a number of times now about this because the Rattledge surgery was announced a while back, or, you know, last week.
Yeah, explain tightrope surgery.
So what it is, essentially, Rob, is when you have a high ankle sprain, there is separation of the tibia and the fibula with the foot. Like, so everything kind of expands and swells outwards, and it takes a while for the ligaments to kind of shrink back down into place and to kind of tighten that entire joint up. And what you do is you have just a, you know, slightly invasive procedure that you go in and you put holes through the tibia and the fibula, and you put this rope through it, essentially, and kind
zip
of
tie?
Tighten it up. Yeah,
a you zip kind tie of,
exactly, like a metal zip. And I've got one in my foot. I still have one in my foot that's a tight rope. So you go in, and it kind of just speeds up the ligament, healing process to where it's about a third of the amount of time. So that's what he's dealing with. It'll get him back on the field faster. But back to your original question about how it affects the game. I think Georgia fans and the Georgia coaching staff have a lot of belief in the young man that will be playing right guard. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I watched his film last week against Kentucky, and I think he is a good player, but he's not Tate Rattledge. Right, Tate Rattledge is a day one start in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So there will be some concern when it comes to that. But I think it's awesome for both of these guards that you had a bye week and you got to kind of get those reps next to the players you will be playing against in that game, and you can kind of move forward like that. I think that was not great to have Tate Rattledge out, but the timing of it is pretty good considering all things.
I think it's Micah Morris that's going to step in for Tate Rattledge. I just think what I'm trying to say is Georgia is at the point of the program where they're losing key players every year. I mean, key players. And you're having to refine that chemistry and stuff. I mean, we've seen it kind of with
I think that's the word, chemistry. You're getting the guys with the pedigree, but it's all about the chemistry and cultivating that.
You got what is it? London? Is it London Humphreys?
Yeah. He's got mono though. He's not playing.
Yeah, but he's a guy that we saw when he had him in that first game against Clemson. He looked pretty good.
Like, he came from Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Yes,
he did.
Or Vanderbilt, depending on who's pronouncing it. But like it's. I just think it takes time, and I'm not saying – again, this Alabama team is going through some of the same things. They lost not only players, they lost more starters actually off their front offense and defense, but they're going through a new coach. There are issues, but
– For sure.
It just has to give time, but this is what we get. Kirby Smart is the highest paid coach in what, college football?
Yeah.
Because of what he does in the offseason and recruiting. And you got to believe that he's got the right guys in there that can step in place for a Tate Rattledge, and you won't miss much. You're always going to miss something with a starter, especially one of his pedigree. But you don't want to. You're not losing as much as a lot of teams would from first to second.
I completely agree. And here's what I'll finish the segment with. I can sit here and talk, and I've done this all week on a number of different platforms. You can talk about what Georgia may or may not have in the passing game at the receiver position, at the skill position. Everything they're dealing with, Bama's secondary is dealing with, and some. They're playing freshmen at corner. They lost, Caleb Downs. They lost Kool-Aid McKinstry. They lost Terrion Arnold. They lost all those guys as well. So it's a completely different matchup, and they are going to have their issues in this game as well. It's one of the reasons that Nick Saban did not pick Alabama to win the SEC was that secondary and the questions they have.
Well, you've heard of strength against strength. I guess this will be weakness on weakness.
There you go.